Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. And for those of you who are new here, allow us to introduce ourselves. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary that you can think about. We're going to talk about it. So if that interests you, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode.
And we also review the latest scary movies. And if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send in your requests on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. Before we begin today's episode, I do want to give a shout out to my sister. She did just get married this weekend, and it was insane, guys. Like, I kid you not, like, it felt like a fever dream. I was like, dang, my sister just got married.
For you, you were stressing.
I was stressing. Lisette was out here
shaking.
Yeah.
She was,
stressing
herself out.
Straight
up. You know, it's understandable because she was taking care of the dessert table.
Yeah.
So she was cooking cakes out here, you know, making Rice Krispie treats. And you made a lot of cake.
I made too much, guys. Like, I overestimated. I was like, yeah, about, and it's funny because it says like about 10 full sheet trays. And I'm like, you know, about like 6 or 8 should be good. So I don't even know. I think like I did 6 or something. It ended up being way too much.
You were going to do 8 originally.
Yeah.
No, originally it was, like you said, 10. Then it was going to be 8. And then we just did 6. So thankfully we just did 6.
Right. So it was crazy. I was stressing, but it was worth it because it was for my sister. So shout out to my sister. If you guys don't know who she is, she does have a podcast with my dad called Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. So definitely check that out. With that being said, I do want to mention this. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this topic. You know, it's been talked about a lot in the news. And it's about the missing submarine. If you're not familiar with this is the Ocean Gate expedition, where like they were going to, you know, find the remains of the Titanic, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, it was just like a, basically this whole operation they did just to go see the Titanic.
Yeah.
Which each of the members, and there was 5 of them, paid $250,000 to go down there. That's a lot of money.
It's crazy. And like, I do know that the 5 men, what they were known as like the Titan crew and stuff. And when they were down there, they actually lost connection on their expedition, and it is believed that unfortunately the submarine like imploded. Personally, like, I know there's like a lot of theories and stuff, you know, like, cause they had like connection with them, right?
Yeah.
What I'm assuming is that the reason they lost connection is because it exploded at that time. Yeah. That's what, like, I just feel like that's logical.
Yeah. I don't know if they've said this before, but I think, you know, it exploded within that 1 hour of it going down. So that's why they just lost connection and they didn't know where the submarine was. But there's a lot of theories out there of people saying, you know, what if they faked their deaths, or maybe that they went down there to stay in an underwater facility due to like the dangers that's coming, you know, like the threats between Russia and the United States. I guess people really don't talk about that part, like what's still going on in Ukraine and like the heavy threats of Russia wanting to, you know, if we help out Ukraine in any way, they said that they're gonna, you know, start war against us. So I mean, maybe it to me is just like a tragic, you know, thing that happened. But some of the theories actually make you think, like that one that they're, you know like that movie The Meg.
Yes.
And you go they go down with the submarine.
Yeah.
And there's this huge like underwater like big facility.
Yeah.
That's like the best way to survive. Where would you be safer in than underwater, like
that
when
is
there's
true
something
because
going on Earth?
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's really like low,
not
like
on Earth, on land.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess, yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
I also did see that, like, what if they got taken to a different dimension?
Yeah.
So, like, there's just so many theories on this. And obviously, our condolences to the families who did lose, you know, their loved one. But aside from that, like, there's a ton of theories. But I say the most logical one is that, you know, it possibly did implode, you know, what due to all the pressure and all that stuff, like, going down there. I mean, like, that's just a lot. Overall, like, you know, It's crazy, but if you guys didn't know about that, definitely, you know, look more into the story and maybe let us know if there's any theories you may have or if you believe as well, you know, like it was just simply a logical implosion.
And also, over the weekend, our YouTube channel did turn 4 years. Just wanted to tell you guys that.
It's been crazy. It's been an insane journey. We are still, like, we have so many goals set for us and for that channel. So definitely check it out, guys, and subscribe if you haven't yet. We did so many things that's, like, kind of related to the podcast. We've been really steering into, like, direction of, like, scary, spooky ones. Yeah, so, like,
it seems like that's what you guys like.
Yeah, so,
especially,
like,
on TikTok, too.
Exactly. And we like to do it anyway. So, like, definitely check out our YouTube channel. Help us reach at least a 10k. Like, we're pushing it, guys.
Yeah, right now we're about, not about, well, I guess I could say about, because it's like 200-300 subscribers away from 3,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we made it a goal on TikTok to hit 100k within this year, and we're already 71k in two months that we grew.
So I
feel like we can definitely make that happen on
YouTube.
It's
like, it's in the air, guys. Yeah. And, like, not really that, like, YouTube changed a lot of their monetization policy, so it would really help us, like, you know, like, it just, it's a little bit easier for, like, the rules they have set in order to get monetized. So, like, we're just really pushing it, guys. Yeah. So definitely check it out. If once we get monetized, I'm gonna be breakdancing in the streets, guys. Like, guys, that's, like, on everything, I would do that.
Yeah, guys, so like I said, check out our YouTube channel. The link is on in the description of this episode, or you can just look up Sway and Liz. So, and go watch our latest video that we just dropped on Monday about the scariest TikToks versus YouTube shorts. Mm-hmm. So I'm just telling you right now, there were some right there that I'm just thinking about right now, literally gave me goosebumps. Weird ones.
Seriously, but with all that being said, I actually came across this story when I was scrolling through TikTok, and it was crazy because these four children went missing for a total of 40 days in the Amazon jungle. And it's insane because they survived, and the youngest of the four was only 1 year old. So, I mean, it's amazing, and I'm sure it was definitely a relief once they found them, but I do want to talk about the story because the way they survived was actually incredible. And it was, like, far beyond. I was like, dang, y'all really did that. Like, that's crazy.
So the children were actually traveling with their mother at the time on a single engine plane. I'm going to have trouble saying this the whole episode because I don't know why, I just can't seem to pronounce this, but is that Amazonia village?
Uh-huh.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Amazonia village of. And guys, these words are pretty, you know, they're pretty long. Like, we speak Spanish and stuff, but like
Arakura,
Arakura, or to San Jose de Guaravir.
Guaraviria.
Something like that. Like, obviously, like, sorry if we mispronounce that. Yeah,
but they were flying on a single engine plane from the Amazonian village of Arakuria and San Jose de Guaravia. Like I said, hopefully we're saying that right. But unfortunately, as they were flying on May 1st, the plane crashed nose down due to engine failure. On board were the four children from ages 1 to 13 years old. Their mother and also two pilots were on the plane. 2 weeks after the crash, the bodies of the pilots and their mother were found on the site, but the children were nowhere near, which that's why they began to search. And guys, just imagine getting lost in the Amazon. Like, it had to have been so scary because there's, like, literally, it's always raining there, there's snakes, and, like, God knows what else is in that forest, but it is said to be the size of 48 continuous United States put together.
That's
that is,
like,
humongous,
right? Like, and just, like, imagine that, guys. Like, I mean, you obviously see the size of the United States. Imagine 48 of those. Dang.
That's a lot. Dang, that's, I was just, like, putting them together in my head. I'm like, that's a lot
right?
of land.
It is. And it's like, there's so many, like, different, like, animals on there. Like, I'm assuming tigers, you know, like
pumas.
Yeah, all those
that,
you know,
all that crazy stuff,
all of that. But the footprints of one of the kids was found in late May, which gave everyone hope that they were alive. And they actually sent out tracking dogs, and one of the dogs was known as Wilson to search the ground. And I know Wilson, like, this dog is, you know, he was a canine, so he's a pretty popular dog right now because he was actually able to sniff out where the crash was located and clues that the children were still alive. Another thing that I saw was pretty heartwarming was the fact that the indigenous members of the community joined forces with the military in order to find the children. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing because, like, it was, like, so many soldiers, guys, like, so many military men, like, it was crazy. Like, all these people joined forces in order to find these kids. Like, I thought it was beautiful, but the sad part is Wilson actually disappeared in the woods and was nowhere to be found. And I know, like, a lot of people on TikTok were like, what the heck, like, how could they have lost him, and, like, where did the dog go? I think I read that he picked up a scent and he just sprinted towards it, but they couldn't catch up with him. So he just, you know, he got lost. And like we said, I mean, it's like a huge amount of land. Like, it's, this poor dog is lost out there.
Yeah, and I believe the oldest of the four was said to have had experience in the jungle, and that their mother actually taught them survival skills. Not only that, they were natives to the land and were raised in the jungle, so they knew what food they could eat and how to, you know, stay away from snakes and where to hide. They even said that they hid in tree trunks to avoid snakes, but also the heavy rain.
And guys, who who knows, like, there's tons of articles out there right now, and, like, I know they haven't interviewed the kids exactly yet, because obviously, you know, it's still pretty sensitive for them, but I saw someone said that they were running in the tree trunks. I was just trying to picture, like running in the tree trunks.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand that. Like, running up it, you know, like, to get higher.
I was thinking, like, you know, when they're carved out and you, like, run inside of it, but running up, that's interesting.
Right?
What the heck?
Like, I wonder if they're running up to get higher to avoid stuff. I don't know. That's one thing that kind of puzzled me.
And I know a lot of people were wondering what they ate and how they were able to keep themselves alive. And I did read that after the crash, they ate lots of seeds, and there was actually a bag of cassava flour on the plane. And the sister also knew fruits that they could eat, which was, you know, helpful, of course. But even the military during this time was dropping food boxes throughout the jungle and playing recordings of their grandmother's voice, telling them to stay where they are on this, like, huge loudspeaker. But if you guys remember, we said there was a baby on board, and to keep the baby hydrated, the oldest of the four mixed yucca flour with water in a bag that they found on the plane. And since they didn't have a bottle or anything, she used a leaf to drip the mixture into the baby's mouth, which
they were
trained good.
The position that she was put in, you know, and her being the oldest, and obviously, like, I think a lot of, you know, like, you're the oldest, like, you're like, dang, like, I gotta make sure, like, my siblings are okay, you know, like, pull them out, make sure they survive and stuff. But the fact that they had a baby on board, and she, like, made sure that the baby was okay throughout this whole entire thing, like, she's so smart. Like,
yeah, she is.
I don't even know, and I don't think I would even thought of that, like, in placement of a bottle. I don't know, I think I would have been struggling to figure out, like, what to do, right?
I guess in that sense, when you're really in, like, survival mode, I feel like the human brain will work wonders.
Well, for them too, I think it really benefited them, because I believe that and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, they were a part of the Huitoto tribe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, and forgive me if I'm not, but they were part of this tribe, and they were raised, you know, like we had mentioned, to have these skills and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I think in this instance it really helped them. But they typically are taught from a young age on how to open paths, you know, like when they're going through, like, a bunch of, like, parts of land and stuff, and what kind of fruits are edible, as well as, like, where to find water, build shelters, basically any kind of survival they were taught, which I feel like these are essential skills anyone should be taught. And, like, you think that they teach this in school,
right?
Because, like, especially, like, real life situations like this, like, this kid really, like, pulled them all out of there because she knew what to do. I also found that the kids had a mosquito net and a plastic tarp on a pile of bananas, which is what they slept on. And, like, besides that, like, I think that, like, what I'm thinking is, like, I wonder what stuff they saw out there. I wonder if, like, they had to fight off any predators, you know? Like, I wonder, like, what else these kids went through out there.
Yeah, I guess we'll know once they come out and say their story. But definitely they had to, like, come across something crazy or just strange out there.
Right.
But continuing on, as the kids were having their own series of events, the volunteers were looking for any sort of inspiration to find the kids. So they made this psychedelic brew from the plants in the jungle. The reason for this was to help them have some sort of vision that could, you know, point them in the right direction of where they could be, or if they were still alive. They even performed rituals based on their traditional beliefs, and one being El Dueño, or also known as Duendes, which we've talked about Duendes, like, a few episodes ago. So if you guys haven't, you know, heard that episode, definitely check it out. It's a pretty, you know, interesting and scary ones, but they're like these spiritual or goblin looking thingies that live in forests or jungles, like, underground. And I read in this article that when they are young, the children are often introduced to these spiritual owners in a ceremony which ensure that the spirits understand their relationship and their territory. Duendes, like the Latin duendes, I guess the Mexican duendes that we know, they're pretty, like, creepy little creatures.
Yeah, because I don't think I mentioned this, guys, it was, like, the Colombian military that was finding these kids, because it's all based, you know, in that area too. So when I had read El Dueño, I know, of course we're familiar with Duendes and stuff, but Dueños, you know, obviously means owner. Like, these are the owners, or, like, the spirits of the jungle and this and that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But the grandfather actually believed that the children were taken in by one of these Duendes, and the reason they weren't hearing them shouting for their names is because they were in another spiritual realm. I don't know, reading that part, like, gave me goosebumps, because I'm like, I wonder what they saw out there and where they were. But this is kind of why they decided take a traditional approach on the situation, or in order to find the kids. And the elders conducted dialogues, negotiations, and their malocas, and hopefully I'm reading or saying that right. It's basically like this long hut that they build out there, and they do all, like, you know, know, these ceremonies and stuff, and it's like their houses. But since the crash was located on a part of their ancestral territory, the shamans communicated with the sacred sites, and they offered like cocoa and tobacco to the spirits, and they basically said, take this in exchange for the children.
I've always said this too, because we've done some episodes on like indigenous people. I've always said this, like, I feel like they had connection to like the land, to nature, so like, yeah, a spiritual connection. I feel like they knew like certain spots to go to get certain energies from,
yeah, right,
these places. So I honestly believe that this was actually real, and they, you know, communicated with these spirits of the forest, and it's pretty interesting. And I guess in a sense that would be scary to see that. Imagine, you know, you're trying to find these kids and you start doing this ceremony and ritual and you actually start seeing these things.
Yeah,
that would be trippy.
But after many days, the search party came about the kids' footprints alongside paw prints. And thankfully, those clues led them closer to where the children were located. And finally, I believe it was said on June 9th, they were rescued. But the crazy thing is, they were hardly even injured. Just dehydrated and malnourished. So, like, you'd think that they would have been, you know, something...
injured because of the crash?
Yeah, the crash, right? As we mentioned earlier, how Wilson, the search dog, went missing, the kids actually said that they were met with a dog along the way. They said that it looked very similar to the way Wilson did. And they stated that a dog was with them for about 2 to 3 days. And they also stated that their mom was alive with them for about 4 days. And she basically told them, go and you guys, like, just survive, you know? Yeah. Which is so sad, but she knew that they'd make it out because she's like, you know, like, my kids got this.
People on TikTok were saying maybe when they did the rituals and exchanges with the duendes, what if the duende took Wilson in exchange for the kids, because he sprinted off when, you know, he picked up this scent. And if he was with the kids for a few days, I don't think he would have left their side unless they were, you know, returned back to the search party. So I wonder, you know, where he went. He definitely is a hero, though. There's even like a trending hashtag of Wilson. So I really hope they find him. I guess I don't know, because like, he's a canine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trained to search for things, obviously, and bring them back.
Yeah.
So if he was with the kids, I honestly believe like this dog knew that his mission was to find them and bring them back. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the jungle, so maybe something scared him away, or he actually, you know,
got taken,
the duendes took him.
I guess like, if you were to think more of like a logical approach, maybe like a predator, like a lion got him or something. Yeah. And hopefully not, like, I'm knocking on wood for that, but I do really hope they find him, because he looks so cute. Have you seen the pictures of him?
I haven't seen,
yeah,
the picture.
I'll have to show you, because he's such a cute dog. But this whole entire search mission, guys, was insane. And I know the kids have yet to make statements, like we said, but their grandparents said that when they're ready, they will. They've just been drawing a lot, I guess, kind of like to blow off steam. And mm-hmm. One of the images that the youngest ones drew was a dog that looked like Wilson. So that kind of brought hope to them that he's still out there and that it possibly was, you know, the dog. Because I don't think some random dog would be running out in the Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? So overall, it's a crazy story about how these four brave kids survived the jungle, and who knows that they were taken by the duendes. But whatever happened out there, I'm just glad they made out alive, and I truly hope that they find Wilson too. But I do want to mention this quote, and I thought this was pretty cool, because they said like, the jungle saved them, and they are children of the jungle, and now they are also children of Colombia. So
that's,
I thought
cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah,
that,
right,
is cool.
And I think this is obviously like a monumental thing, because these four kids survived so much and they came out alive, and all thanks because, like, you know, to their sister and, you know, the jungle.
Yeah, I had my own, you know, little thing that I wanted to throw out there, because I was thinking, if they were playing voices through this loud speaker, even if they were far away, but I mean, they were doing it close to the crash site and,
yeah,
around that area where, you know, it would be obvious that they would be running around there. So I wonder if they heard it. I guess they haven't made a statement or anything, but if they did, yeah, you'd think they'd run towards it. But it just seemed like they weren't able to hear that voice. So it does make sense that they were probably, like, you know, taken into this spiritual realm.
I don't know, guys, it's pretty insane. Like,
it'd
be a crazy theory, but I mean, like, imagine though, like, you know, once they get older and like see someone's like messing with one of their younger siblings, they're like, oh, you want me to get my sister? She survived the freaking jungle. Like, imagine,
yeah,
like, that'd be insane. Like, she's a freaking gangster.
Yeah,
oh my
all
God.
Of them.
All of them. It's crazy, but thank God they all made it out alive. And this is the end of today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you guys did, don't forget to follow us on our Scaredy Cats podcast page, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K, and let us know what you guys thought about today's episode.
But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.